The Justice Department today takes the unusual step of going to federal court over a dispute with the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. The immediate issue is whether a new Bush appointee should be seated on the panel. But the underlying controversy goes much deeper. It involves the Commission's overall approach to the civil rights debate and whether the independent government panel still has a role to play. NPR's Pam Fessler reports.
In the same month President Eisenhower created the Civil Rights Commission in 1957, 9 African-American high school students were confronted by an angry white mob in Little Rock, Arkansas.
We've just got a report here on this end that the students are in. They're trying to turn the kids down that way, down there. You can see from here some of the action occurring down there.
These violent protests shocked Americans, and over the next several years, the new Civil Rights Commission helped the nation come to grips with its racial divisions. It held hearings across the country, and what it found shaped the civil rights legislation of the 1960s. The commission became known as the conscience of the nation. Fast forward to today, and you can get a very different picture.
I am aware of my rights under Robert's Rules of Order, and my right to make a point of order about whether or not
Commissioner Braceros, you were not recognized.
Well, I would like to be recognized. My entire
I have not yet recognized you.
That the exchange took place earlier this month between Commissioner Jennifer Braceros, a Bush appointee, and Democrats on the panel. Sitting in the audience was Peter Kersenow, also appointed by President Bush. The commission refuses to seat Kersenow because the Democratic majority says there's no opening. That's the issue currently before the court. It's only the latest in a series of confrontations between conservative commissioners and their more liberal colleagues. The divisiveness is so bad, many people, including Emory Law Professor David Garrow, says the civil rights panel has become increasingly irrelevant.
Back in the 50s and 60s, it played a tremendously valuable, substantively important role. But I think we need to acknowledge that, at least occasionally in this world, there are some government bodies whose reason for being does eventually come to an end.
Garrow, who won the Pulitzer Prize for his biography of Martin Luther King Jr., says the problem began in the 1980s. That's when President Reagan tried to fire 3 liberal commissioners and replace them with appointees who held his conservative views on such issues as affirmative action. Garrow says ever since, each administration has tried to put its own ideological stamp on the panel, undermining its credibility.
The commission for almost 2 decades now has not been able to be in the position of really saying anything new to anyone.
Al Latham Jr. was the commission's staff director during the 1980s. He goes even further and says its purpose for being was pretty much over in the 1960s.
Because it succeeded in its purpose. It helped prepare the climate for the elimination of the horrible Jim Crow system that we had at that time. And that's something to be celebrated, that it succeeded in its purpose.
But tell that to Chairwoman Mary Frances Berry today, and you get a dismissive shrug. Berry's used to criticism. In fact, she was one of those President Reagan tried to fire 2 decades ago.
What happens here is that civil rights issues are very contentious. The more hot button they are, because they go to the core of what we are as a nation and what we have been in the past and what we're trying to overcome. And these are very hard, sticky, difficult issues. And so for anyone to take any position on them at all and to do it strongly, as the commission has tried to do, will create problems.
She says there's plenty left to do. The panel gathers and refers to the appropriate authorities thousands of civil rights complaints each year. It's held hearings on the conditions of Native Americans and on police brutality in New York. It recently set up a hotline for people who think they've been the target of racial profiling since September 11th. Berry notes that the commission monitors how the rest of the government enforces civil rights laws.
It's also important in terms of our democracy and our republican form of government to know that in our government, we have an agency like this, where people have recourse and where they can come if they don't know anywhere else to go, and that there will be a response.
But it's the response the critics don't always like. That was the case after Florida's election recount. The commission investigated numerous voter complaints and reported that minority voters were more likely than others to have their ballots discounted or to be prevented from voting. Conservative Commissioner Abigail Thernstrom was one of the most vocal critics. She said the panel's report ignored factors other than race that could have contributed to the problems in Florida.
I mean, the commission has an important fact-finding role to play, and when it doesn't do so with integrity, then the credibility of the commission itself is on the line.
Mr. Thornton, we're supposed to be discussing the report, not your views about the integrity.
Well, okay, it seems to me relevant to this, but in any case, I
That was Thornstrom and Barry going at it last year when the report was released, an event that exacerbated tensions on the commission. Today, Thornstrom complains there isn't enough diversity of opinion on the 8-member panel. She thinks the majority takes too narrow a view of civil rights issues, and she calls many of the commission's reports ideological diatribes.
Everything is put into the box of white racism. That was the right box to put civil rights issues into in 1965. It's not the right box in 2002.
My own view is that Abigail and her track record, I think, demonstrates this, is far more ideologically driven than anyone else on the commission.
Christopher Edley, a Democratic appointee, vehemently disagrees that the commission's work is not sound. He says the Florida report may have been controversial, but it helped turn attention away from hanging chads to the question of fundamental voting rights. He notes that a number of the commission's recommendations have been included in election reform bills now before Congress. He says the panel's become a lightning rod, at least in part, because it finally has a working majority after years of an even split between Democrats and Republicans. Edley thinks all the controversy shouldn't stop it from doing a very important job.
What I regret most of all is this sense somehow that there's no more work for the Civil Rights Commission to do. That's as if saying that we've achieved a perfect state of justice on the variety of issues related to race, gender, disability, national origin, and the like that are within the commission's mandate.
Emory University's David Garrow says it isn't a question of whether there are any civil rights issues left, but whether the commission can have a significant impact on the debate. He says as long as the partisan bickering continues, the answer is probably no. Pam Fessler, NPR News, Washington.